Man, I love it. Y'all are just staring like you're expecting something this morning. I like it. I like it. I like expecting. Man, God is so good. And the Holy Spirit all week has just been really neat with me. He's talked to me a lot this week and just opened things up for me. And so spending a lot of time with the Holy Spirit. So he kind of gave me this idea of how we're going to do the message this morning. And so I want you to be open. Everybody say, I'm open. My heart's open. My ears are open to receive what God has in Jesus' name. Okay, good. Now, y'all declared it. You can't go backwards on it. But I'm going to take you through kind of how this message evolved. How the Holy Spirit gave me this message. And it came from, I have a friend, a high school friend, musician. And we crossed paths at times. And really, y'all have to understand, I was not a jock in high school. I could have been. Well, I mean, I'd probably been run of the mill. I wasn't bad, but I wasn't great. I could play sports. But when I was younger, Dad said it, I wanted to do everything. Football, baseball, I played the fiddle, I wanted to play the drums, I wanted to play guitar. Dad said, you got to pick one. He said, if you're going to ever be good at anything, you have to pick one. He told me, he said, I don't care what you pick. He said, but pick it. And then be good at it. He said, I'll make sure that you can do the other things. And he did. Golf is one of my favorite sports. I played tennis, racquetball. So athletically, I was good because Dad made sure of that. But I chose the fiddle. And so when I went to high school, I went to Permian where they played. I mean, if you hadn't ever heard of Friday Night Lights, the TV show, that's where I went to high school at. Amen. But like I said, I played the fiddle. I went to school with all the rich kids. And so I didn't fit in. Corey went to OHS on the other side, who he's younger than I am. And I should have went to the cowboy school, but I was a cowboy at Permian. But this guy played football, and he played. Well, now he does really well. Anyway, so we were talking on the phone not too long ago, and he had a little slip. And he said, man, I got off the wagon. He said, I started drinking again. I said, man, that's all right. You ask for forgiveness. Let it go and move on. Well, he started going to AA. And I've known lots of people that have gotten a lot of help from AA. I would never say that AA is not good. And from what group, this, I almost said his name. I don't need to do that. What he told me was it's really close biblical based. Some of it really is. So I thought, oh, that's cool, you know. But one thing that always bothered me with AA or any other, a lot of times, rehab programs or whatever you're going through, they say, hi, this is just for example, okay, it's not me, but hi, my name is Ricky and I'm an alcoholic. Wait a minute. That contradicts what the word says. Right? Now, I admit it, I have known people that have been clean for 40 years because of AA. I'm not bad, my AA does some great things. But this is one area which I wish they would adjust their program, because we know that you're no longer an alcoholic. Amen? And so, I am that statement. And the Holy Spirit said, who am I? Who am I? Who is Ricky? Who am I? So that's the name of this sermon. Not Ricky, it's who am I? That's the name of the sermon. So I got to thinking and praying, and when Corey's here, he's done this before. It's really good explanation because we do it he does it on the road a lot. So people go, oh, the Bible's so hard to understand. I don't get it. You know, it's so hard to read. But Pastor Corey says that if you can understand two things, you understand the Bible. God is. And the devil is, there it is, okay? God is, and the devil is, right. So turn to Psalms 100. I hope you brought your Bible today. This is not one of those get in one section and stay there in the Bible today. So I hope y'all ready. It's not bad. I kind of. Psalms 100. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Psalms 100. Say amen when you're there. Amen. Say oh my if you're not. Oh, everybody's there. Okay. Psalms 100. We're going to be in verse 5. It says, for the Lord is good. Amen. Everybody say good. God is? That's right. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Wow. Well, in Lamentations, when talking about God's mercy, that compassionate love, that forgiveness. In Lamentations, it says that God's mercy is new every morning. What a God. That we start out with His new mercy every morning. Isn't that cool? I mean, and then it goes on to say it's everlasting and His truth. What's the truth? The Word. That's right. His truth endures to all generations. Now, we've discussed this before. I had a pastor that always said, y'all know what all means, right? All. That's hard to get for some people, but all means all. Well, guess what? Are we not part of all generations? Yeah, because that's, isn't that cool that this is still relevant today? He's telling us that the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and the truth, the Word, endures to all generations. Man, somebody ought to clap on that. I mean, that's what you should. Because if this isn't true, then what are we doing here? Amen? If we're not willing to believe this, that this is the truth, then why are we here? See, I believe it. I've seen it play out. I've seen it happen when people are sick or people are having relationship troubles. I've seen God's Word work. It's just like tithes and offerings, y'all. I told you we didn't have a paycheck for a year. And you know what? For Ricky, I had more peace than I'd ever had in my life. And that's not right, for Ricky doesn't used to do that. Usually Ricky would have been scared out of his mind. Somebody can testify to that. But you know what? We have been so close and gotten walking with God so much that it was like when it came up, it was like, okay, guess what? We're going to keep going. And we did every day. I'm not saying there weren't times when we went through that, but we never lacked for anything. The peace of God that passes all understanding. See, this Word is the truth, and it's for us too. You know, you hear people say, oh, that was written a long time. It's like that song that we did at Easter. You know, a book that was written that long ago. How can it be true? It is if you walk in it. And if you don't believe it's true, guess what? It's not going to be true for you. It's not going to work for you. So either you are or you're not. Amen? But God is good. And His mercy is everlasting. Amen? I wrote this down. God is still as good as the day you got answered prayer as He is while you are waiting on Him. Amen. Amen? Yeah, He's just as good right now. If you're going through something and you're waiting on God, He still is good right now while you're waiting as He did when He came through the last time that we needed something. Amen? He will not. Man, what a God. Turn to Psalms 107. In my Bible, that's to the right. Some of y'all waking up a little bit. That's good. Psalms 107. Verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is. He is. That's right. He is good. For His mercy endures forever. So the Holy Spirit showed me that this is how we need to start out. Because in order to find out who am I, we have to know who He is. And He is? That's right. We've established who God is. He's good. Then the Holy Spirit takes me to Romans. You don't have to turn there on this one. You can just, but it's Romans 8:31 says that if God be for us, who be against us? What a God. I mean, when we're walking in this, that whatever we're going through, when you know, I didn't know this story was going to fit into this sermon so well, but when, just like when Laurie and I were walking through that, we knew that God was with us. Who could be against us? Amen. It didn't matter what attacked us. And as a couple, we were in agreement. So you married folks, be in agreement. Make sure that you're on the same page. She and I prayed in the morning together. We prayed during the day. We pray. We still do that. So when we're in agreement, God is, that power is even stronger when you're a couple. Amen. So God is with us. He never forsakes us. He never leaves us. He's the best. Man, I just right now that, oh, do you understand? See, I'm so excited. And some, I want y'all to understand the excitement. Because right now, day and time, the junk that's going through, and I'm going to say it because our pastor said it before here, the crap that's going on in the world, we need to get excited. We need to get excited. We need to go, what do I do in this situation, God? Do I buy Hunt's ketchup or Heinz ketchup? No, but see, now this was just an example. You laugh, but why not? Because God cares what your decision making is, no matter how small. How small. He cares if you're going a certain way to town that day and you have an alternate route. Say, God, show me which way you want me to go. Amen? Because something may have happened before you and He's going to send you a different route so that you don't have to. Or when we left our house Sunday morning and we pled the blood of Jesus over us and the vehicle and everything, guess what? It still ran after the deer hit us and we ran over the deer. Praise God. That's why we pray. Because God is good. Amen. So then he took me to the next verse. Romans 8:32 said he spared not his only son. How shall he not freely give us what we need? See, he gave his only son to die for us. How would he not give us what we need? Amen? Then the Holy Spirit took me to Hebrews 13:8. And Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday as He is today as He is forever. Amen? So, do y'all see already the pattern that the Holy Spirit has taken me through? He establishes God is good. God is good. Amen. Isn't that good? And then if He's for us, who be against us? And then He gave us His only Son, so He's going to take care of us. Amen. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, y'all. I know y'all are so, you got your notes and that's good, but come on. Let's get fired up. And so, that, and it came in pieces. You know, it wasn't like just like, boom, there it is. Oh, there it is. Oh, wait. My wife's going, I can't believe he just did that. No, she really can. She's been married to me long enough. But the next thing that he showed me was, let's talk about some men in the Bible that like the AA does, I'm an alcoholic. Well, in the Bible, there were people that had that kind of mentality. Amen? The first one he showed me was Moses. Oh, wait. Y'all know what? I, I don't even know why I have notes. Shouldn't even go by them. I'm not even in the right place. Angela, y'all hold on to that thought, because I want to keep this in order, okay? I got ahead of myself. Moses in Exodus asks God, who are you? What's your name? Moses asked God, what's your name? He said, I am who I am. Amen? I am who I am. That covers it all, y'all. That covers everything. That's how good our God is. I am. And I am who I am. What's cool about that is Jesus, in the New Testament, had 7 I am statements. And we're going to talk about those real quick. But that was Jesus tying God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. See, in John 8:58, Jesus said, before Abraham, I am. So Jesus is in the flesh. He's showing that he walked the earth, that God walked the earth. And so he's bringing that tie. Everybody with me? This is yes and this is no. That's what I used to tell those 8th graders I taught. This is yes and this is no. So that's how that Jesus tied the two Old Testament, New Testament, is he said, I am before Abraham. Who? So the 7 I am statements. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And that was in John 6. And we know that when the devil tempted Jesus, he said, you know, we know the devil told Jesus, I know you can turn that into bread. You can turn that into food. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone. But when Jesus is talking about, I am the bread of life, he's not talking about physical food. He's talking about spiritual food. That he's what fills us up from the inside. Amen? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. The next thing Jesus said is, I'm the light of the world. And that's in John 8. See, when we're following Jesus, we're following the light. If we're not following Jesus, we're walking in the darkness. I mean, and like I said earlier, there's some darkness, dark things going around in this world. But can you imagine that if every believer started walking all the time in the light of Jesus? Can you imagine how bright our world would get? Woo! Because people now, and you may have experienced this, that you walk and in your walk with the Lord, people go come up and go, man, there's something about it. There's something about you. You know, what is it? I don't know. Do you know Jesus? See, that's an open door too. But just the thought of if everybody walked in the light of Jesus, can you imagine what our world would look like? People would just, I mean, the darkness would be gone. See, because light drives out darkness. There is no darkness. Have y'all ever heard that where Einstein said, there is no darkness, it's the lack of light? Isn't that cool? So then if it's the lack of light and we start walking in that light, darkness has to go somewhere. It has to be gone. That gets me excited because I know that if I'm walking with the Lord and I'm walking in that light, then darkness has to get out the way. Get out the way. I'm coming through. Me and Jesus, baby. We're coming through, so get out the way. Amen? Yeah. But see, that's what I want for everybody, is that we walk that way. Man, because people go, you bless people when you're walking in the light. And sometimes they don't even know it till after you've passed. Yeah. Because they'll come up and go, there's something. Are you a believer? And they'll go, yeah, I am. Sure am. Proud of it. Do you know Jesus? I could tell, but I just knew. We had that happen on a cruise ship a year or two ago. I walked by a lady from a foreign country, one of them ladies out of the spa, you know, where they're always trying to sell you something. And I walked by and she said, can I ask you, I was so tired of being sold stuff, can I ask you a question? I said, we're going to get a couple's massage later. She said, no, can I? Okay, well, she said, are you a believer? And I looked at her, I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I said, my wife and I both are. She said, oh, I knew it. I just knew it. And she was a believer. And she was like from Africa or somewhere. So see, when we start walking in the light all the time, people are going to see. And then that's when we get to talk to those people. Amen? The third thing, y'all turn to John 10. Mm-hmm. Man, I love this. Woo! God's so good. So good, God, so good. Chapter 10. And go to verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. So here's the third one. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. So right there, what that's talking about is that once we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we get to go in and out that gate. Okay? Now what that means is what it's talking about is the sheep can come and go out that gate. Because we have the security of Jesus. Once we've received Him as our Lord and Savior, we have that security of having Jesus as our Savior. So that tells us that we can go in and out of that gate. We can move about because we walk in the light. Amen. So we have that security. Now go to verse 11. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd and giveth his life for the sheep. Well, we know Jesus died on the cross for us. He gave his life for us, his sheep. Amen. Y'all getting something? Okay. The next, I am the resurrection and the life. You don't have to turn there, but this is in John 11. And it says, he who believes in me, Jesus, though we're dead, he shall live. We get to live. Even though when we pass from this earth, if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we've confessed it from our mouth, then we have eternal life, man. When we leave here, we're gone to heaven. Yeah, baby. And if Jesus comes back before it's time for me to go, I'm out on the first ride, y'all. I'd love for you to join me. Amen? We're going to have a good time. See, that's how Ricky looks at my walk. It's fun. You know, Pastor Corey says we serve a fun God. I think that's what's... The Bible talks about it, but this is Ricky's opinion, so you don't have to write this down. But Ricky's opinion is that's what's wrong with religion. See, religion is beat you down, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and oh my gosh, you smiled in church today. It's okay, y'all. And if you've never experienced something like Cowboy Church, it's just real. It's just real. We preach the truth out of the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, we don't preach it. If it's in the Bible, we preach it. Everything. Because we believe the truth. Amen? But see, when you walk like Ricky walks, yeah, you step in a puddle every once in a while. It's all right. You can wipe your boot off or your shoe off or dry it off sometime. But man, when you walk like that, people want to know. Man, you know, people go, what are you drinking? Jesus. Amen. I can tell you there's no alcohol, no drug, no nothing that can stack up to the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you what. And so when we learn to embrace the Holy Spirit, He's in us, and we learn to walk with that, it makes you walk a little lighter, y'all. I've seen Howdy do it. Howdy walk. Man, he got that walk. I can't walk like Howdy. I got my own Holy Spirit walk, you know? But when you start walking that way, people want to know what you know. And that's our job. We're supposed to be disciples. We're supposed to witness to people, not beat them over the head. Here's the worst thing you can see is that I see people, you know, you watch online, and I watch those reels, and I got a lot of different pastor people I watch and stuff. And then I watch them going out to these different, you know, these pride festivals, and they preach in the gospel. And there's a young man that goes out, and he goes and he just talks. Man, how are you? And, you know, and they'll ask the question, oh, what do you think about being gay? And he goes, well, you know what? For me, no. He said, I almost killed myself years ago, and I had an encounter with Jesus. And he just talks to him, and he loves on him. And boy, they even listen to scripture from him. And then there's one guy, he's got a megaphone and go, you're sinning and you're walking against Jesus and you're going to go. I'm like, what? How do you expect for somebody to change what they're doing when you're telling them, you're screwing up? Right? But then I see this young man who's probably in his early 20s and he's going out there going, man, really? Well, did you have a bad experience as a Christian or growing up? And they'll tell him, and he loves on them. See, that's what the believers should be, not religion, not denomination. Believers say, I love the Lord with all my heart because I know He loved me first. And I'm going to walk that way, and I'm going to love on people I don't even know. Amen? Why not? That's what we're supposed to do. No, that's what we get to do if we choose to do it right. Amen? Sorry, I didn't mean to go down sideways on that path. The next one says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's John 14. That word way, I'm the way, is the unique path. It's the access point to God that Jesus is. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That truth is the ultimate divine truth. See, Jesus and the life. Jesus is our spiritual life. Amen? As well as our eternal life. The next one is, I'm the vine, I'm the true vine. That's John 15. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. You're the branches, okay? We're the branches. We abide in Him. He abides in us. That means that if we walk with Him, He walks with us. Did y'all get that? Like, we have to do something. I mean, because if we're not, it's just like operating in God's economy that we were talking about, tithes and offerings. If you don't do anything, it's not going to come back to you. Amen? I mean, it's like, I really want a drink. Man, I want a drink. Do y'all see me getting a drink? No, it's not happening. When we walk with Jesus, we have to activate that. We have to pick up the water. Oh, Jesus is the living water. Oh, and we have to drink. Do you get it? See, we have to do something. We have to walk with Jesus. If we're over here not doing anything, then what's He going to do? He's waiting. He's waiting on you to say, Lord, I need you today. I need you every day. Amen? I will walk with you because I know you're with me. That's what the Word says. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Man, God is... I'm just checking. We're going to have a test in a minute. Maybe. Now we're the part about the people in the Bible. So the Holy Spirit, after we went through the I ams, the Holy Spirit says, let's talk about a few of those real quick. It'll be quick. Moses said, I am slow of speech. If you look it up in Exodus, he says, I am slow of speech. Interesting fact, though, I studied that out. And different historian theologians, one guy said that he thought that a lot of theologians thought he had a speech impediment. But there were several that also said they weren't sure if he had a speech impediment, or because there's another place, and I think it was Paul, and I can't remember where exactly, I didn't know it, but I just thought this was cool, that they said that he wasn't eloquent because he didn't speak the Greek and the Hebrew very well, so he was not about, I am slow of speaking. Okay? It's two different thoughts. Now, which one's right? God knows. Ricky doesn't, but I thought that, because I've just always heard that one side of, I'm slow of speech, that he has a speech impediment. But what did God do? God brought Aaron, said, hey, Aaron, he said, I'll fix this for you, Moses. I got you. So he had Aaron do the speaking. He would tell Moses what he won't said, and then Moses would tell Aaron, and Aaron would deliver the message. But see, Aaron was just kind of like we do sometimes. Moses said, I am slow of speech. How many of you have ever said, I am this, or I am that? Just like that's how it's got started with the AA thing. And then the Holy Spirit took, who am I? That friend of mine said, I'm an alcoholic, and I want to go. But it's not the right time. See, it's not about screaming, you're messing up. No, you're doing good because you're getting in that. And he knows the Lord. We've had plenty of talks. But see, Moses says, I'm slow of speech. Oh, another one. How about Gideon? Gideon was great because he was a fraidy cat. He was hiding from the Midianites down in the wine press, which is down underground, thrashing his wheat because he didn't want to get, because they were scared. He was scared. And the angel of the Lord shows up and said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Woo! Wouldn't that be fun to hear the Lord say that to you? Mighty man of valor. That says brave man is what valor is. But then God showed him, Gideon was, he might have been slow because he asked for three different times for the God to prove it was really God. Didn't get it the first time. He burned the bread on one side, but not the other, I think. And then something was dry and the other side was not dry and no nothing. I'm like, duh. I mean, really? I mean, sometimes it takes me a little bit to get it, but I think if God did that for me, I'd like, oh, the first try. We're good, God. Whatever you want. But he made a way for Gideon. But this one was so cool to me, because I never really paid attention to it, I guess. Jeremiah. Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 talks about, he said, God, I can't speak for you. I am just a child. And I went, wow. And so I got to reading and studying. He said, I'm just a child. But God told him, he said, I will put the words in your mouth and you just speak the words I give you. Do you have faith today to speak those words God puts in your mouth? I challenge you. When God speaks to you in here and says, just go over there and speak to that person. And you're like, oh no. Do it. Because you know what's going to happen when you do it? You will be blessed more than that person that you went and blessed. Oh, my Lord, you can't imagine the feeling. If you've never done it, but you've heard that small voice tell you to do something and you didn't do it, when you go do it, it's like, oh, my Lord. When you have people have tears come down their face because you did what the Holy Spirit told you to do and you're going, the first time it happens and they're crying and you're like, oh, I'm sorry. I just, God loves you. He told me to tell you that. You know? It blessed me more than it blessed them. And I can't even explain that to them. Amen. Whew. God will give you what you need. Who does God say I am? Are y'all hanging on? You better put your training wheels on your pen because we're going to be flying. Romans 10:9. You don't have to go, just write this down. It says, I am saved. Everybody say, I am saved. And if you're not saved, you're going to be before we get through here in just a few minutes. He says, I am saved. Romans 8, 16 and 17. Here's the second one. I am a child of God. That's who God says you. No, it's not just about. He didn't just tell Ricky that. Oh, did y'all think I was just talking about me? It wasn't just about me. No, it ain't about me. But this is what God says about you too. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He says this about you. He says that you can say, Seth, you can say, I'm a child of God. Man, how does that feel? The next one is, I'm a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Man. If you ever know anything about being an heir, that means that we get to share with what Jesus shares. Woo! We get to heaven. We can have it here on earth if you're willing to walk in the light. I'm doing this quickly. Oh, he says that I am more than a conqueror through Christ. That's in Romans 8:37. And by the way, that more than a conqueror, listen to this. In the Greek, it means complete and decisive. Ooh, overwhelming victory. That's what the phrase more than a conqueror means in the Greek. Boy, that's good. Oh, here's one of mine. Ephesians 1:7 says, I am redeemed. See, that's what Jesus shed His blood for my sins. All my sins and iniquities. I am redeemed because of that blood. Whew. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I'm a new creation in Christ. When I'm saved, the old me passes away. But I'm new in Christ. It's like His mercies. His mercies are new what? Every morning. Oh, somebody was listening. Good. Revelations 12:11 says, I am an overcomer. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. That's what we've been talking about, is you testifying when you're out. Amen. Ephesians 2:10 says, I am God's workmanship. You're not just a random act, okay? You were not just a clump of clay, and then God said, boop, nope. No, just like He said that He intentionally formed us. He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. He had plans for us. Listen to what workmanship means. Masterpiece of handiwork. Master, you're a masterpiece, y'all. I know some days when you get out of bed and your knee hurts and your ankle hurts or it's cold outside, you might not feel like a masterpiece, but God says that's who I am. I'm a masterpiece. Amen. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That wonderfully means uniquely skillful craftsmanship. Hey, you've never thought of that. Well, maybe you have. I shouldn't say that. I had never thought about all this. Some of it I had. Some of it I know I'm an overcomer and all that. But this workmanship thing. Huh. I mean, I knew I was unique. Believe me. Holy Spirit reminds me of that quite often when He's dealing with me. You know, I know I'm different. It's okay. You don't have to agree, baby. Wife's agreeing over there. But have you stopped and thought about that? That you are uniquely and skillfully crafted. Each and every one of you in here, God unique. Oh my. When you think about that, you were created with intent. Yeah, because it makes you wonder. But I know that what I tell my kids now, and I tell other people, I tell young people, because I want them to get it. I wish I knew this, what I know now, 30 years ago, or longer than that. Amen. It's never too late. But man, I wish I knew in my teens or my early 20s, or that I was uniquely crafted by God, it would change a lot of the way I did things. And I don't mean that funny. I mean, it's just when you understand the thought process and that what God really has for you, and that you can walk in that, and that it's so much better than walking in the darkness of the world, man, I want all I can get. Amen? Amen. Whew. Before I do this last one, the Holy Spirit, I was studying this morning, and He put it on me to tell y'all this. And you don't have to, but if you've been taking notes, or if you didn't take notes but you would like to, you can go back and watch. They replay this, so you can go back and take notes at home or whatever. I wonder what would happen if every morning we got out of bed and we have this list, and the first thing I say is, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord. I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a new creation in Christ. There's eight of these that I've given you. There's a bunch more. I had to just start. The Holy Spirit, He was wired the other day, man. I was getting stuff. I'm like, whoa. But what would happen if you and you and you and everyone started saying this to yourself every morning? And you do this for about a month, you're going to have a walk like me and Howdy got. You're going to start walking. You're going to feel the difference in your spirit, man. When you start saying, I'm saved. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. If you're saying that every morning, then what happens when you get to work or you're driving down the highway like we've been doing lately, and the devil's been shooting for us? Nicked us last week, but we got him. I run over that sucker. Amen? We got the rental car. Honest to goodness. Was it Tuesday? Tuesday, we were going to Lampasas to meet a friend that was from New Hampshire that happened to be wanted to have supper. We're in the rent car. We're going down 29 or 281. A buzzard. I'm going the speed limit, 70 miles an hour. A buzzard comes. Whoa, I slam on the brakes. And you could see if it was a boy or a girl. That's how close it was. I'm just saying. I'm telling you. The car's pulling out in front of us, driving the dadgum rent-a-car. Man, we've been bleeding the blood. See, what happens in those situations when those come and you go, I'm more than an overcomer. That's not going to wear me out. Amen? I'm a new... When you start thinking about doing that old habit or whatever that old habit was. No. I'm a new creation in Christ. That old man passed away. You ain't rearing up on me. What happens when we start speaking that to our situation in the morning before it ever happens? Woo! Then when that stuff starts happening, it ain't near what it would have been. So maybe you try it. Maybe you do that for a month, and in a month you come back, or come next week, I'm not saying that. But tell me how it's working. Because it'll change your life. We have learned that declaration for us is one of the biggest things you can do, is start declaring the Word of God every morning. Laurie and I wrote a declaration that she and I read every morning. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of Jesus. I quench every fiery dart the wicked one brings against me today. Everything I put my hand to shall prosper in the name of Jesus. I am led by the Spirit. I'm filled by the Spirit. Amen. See, we do that every morning. Sometime it may not be together. I mean, you know, because I do get up a little later, and she 4:30 is a little. My day ain't really time to command at 4:30 in the morning yet. He hadn't put that on me yet, and I'm not. Last one, and I'm closing. Because what better place to close? Y'all turn to Romans 8. The last I am that I wrote that God says who I am is I'm exceedingly loved. See, and the good thing that I really love is that God's love was a proactive love. He sent Jesus before he did any of this. He sent Jesus knowing what was going on. See, that's a proactive love. He loved us so much that he sent Jesus, his only son. That's love. Everybody found Romans 8? Turn over to verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It don't get no better than that, y'all. It don't get any better than that. Who am I? Who does God say you are? If you don't know that kind of love, and you have never given your life to Jesus, right now, we never do a service without giving someone an opportunity. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never confessed out of your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, I beg you to do it today. I want you to experience what we as believers, when we walk with Jesus, experience. So if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right now, we're not going to do anything. We don't do anything crazy here. We're going to have you say a prayer out loud where you're sitting, but we're going to have the believers say it with us. Every head bowed and every eye closed, just out of respect to the person next to you. So if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do it now. So everybody out of your mouth say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. I believe that you died and rose on the third day for me. Forgive me of all my sins. So, Father, I thank you for showing me who you say I am. Thank you that Jesus is now my Savior. So when I leave this earth, I'm going to bust the gates of heaven wide open in Jesus' name. Now before we say amen, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we do want to, if you just confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to get you a Bible. Because, and also be bold about this, because the Word says, confess me before men and I'll confess you to the Father. So if you just gave your life to Jesus, all I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three and I want you to stick your hand up. We're going to hand you a Bible and then you can put it right back down. 1, 2, 3. Anybody just confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Anybody? Oh, we got one over there. Okay. So thank you, Lord. Give her a Bible. 2. Thank you, Father. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Be bold. If you just did, be bold. Anybody else? All right, y'all look at me. Hey, we got a new brother and sister in Christ this morning. Thank you, Jesus.